You know, everybody leaves a legacy. Intentional or unintentional, legacies are left. So I think about what the wise man says as we read together in Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Have you ever been blessed by someone who, because of his or her forethought a long time ago, gave you a blessing in the present? In other words, because of a gift that really was only brought to fruition in that person's legacy, later in that person's, maybe even in his or her memory. And yet you have that blessing today because of that. Proverbs 20 teaches that a life of integrity doesn't just benefit the person who lives it, but it blesses the next generation. This morning, whether you're a parent, I must admit that today's message is influenced by the fact that it's Father's Day, but whether you're a dad or you aren't, let's think about the influence that you have on another person and how this proverb can impact the decisions that we'll make today that will not only make a difference to the people around us now, but to people even who will come after us. Think with me in the first place about the power of integrity. You know, integrity is powerful. The righteous who walks in his integrity, the text says. And the term integrity translates a term that has to do with perfection in the sense of being complete, whole. Someone who is innocent, someone who is pure, someone who is upright. It means to be consistent in your righteousness. Someone who's consistently striving to walk in an upright way. Verse 6 of Proverbs 20 discusses a man who would proclaim his own steadfast love. The implication seems to be a faithful man who can find. I mean, sort of on the negative. Here's somebody whose words and actions don't match. And then if I come down to verse 9, who can say I've made my heart pure? I'm clean from sin. Okay, we understand that everyone has faults, that there are imperfections. But the person who is trying to walk in an upright and righteous way, who is seeking to walk in a way of integrity, notice the emphasis on the walking in this way. So we have an alignment between private and public. Integrity involves what we do when no one else is looking, who we are, and whether who we are matches between when others are around or in the room and they are not. Consider great and faithful legacies of the Old Testament. In the book of Job, we read in Job 1:1 that he was an upright man, that he was blameless in his generation. Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. And then, as if to explain why, the very next verse in Genesis 6, verse 9 says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God. What was the impact of Noah's legacy? I know that later in the book of Genesis, after the flood, Noah will have some less than stellar moments in his life. But when I come to Genesis 6 and verse 9, and then I read what happens with regard to the flood and how God's going to send that flood that's going to wipe out every generation of the earth, the exception is Noah and his family. Here's a man whose integrity preserved his family during a time of crisis. Would I want those who are watching me to imitate what I do when they see how I live every day? I think that's a question that we need to ask ourselves and we need to seek an answer to that will help us to see the power of living a life of integrity. But in addition to that, we also need to consider that integrity does make an impact. Integrity makes an impact on the next generation. Blessed are his children after him, the proverb says. That is, the one who walks in integrity blesses the next generation. This isn't just about a material inheritance. It's about spiritual security, stability, a foundation that is laid as a result of a great example. You know, all the way back in the book of Exodus, as the Lord was giving through Moses these Ten Commandments, he says in Exodus 20, verse 5, you shall not bow down to these idols or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Wait a minute, did you see that? Do you mean to say that there is a negative impact as that results from the poor legacy of an individual who would bow down and worship carved images as though they are God? And I don't believe that it's the case that God would punish children for something that they haven't done, although it is certainly true that sometimes there are others who have to experience negative things simply because they are around me in my punishment of the sins that I've committed. There are individuals who suffer even though they're innocent, because sometimes sin has gotten root of someone who's around them, and as a result, they feel that there's shrapnel that comes. But also consider, what example does the person leave behind who would bow down and worship a carved image or the likeness of anything in heaven above or in earth beneath? God says, that will have an impact on your kids, even generations down the line. But by contrast, he says in Exodus 20, verse 6, God shows steadfast love to thousands of those who love him and who keep his commandments. So consider the legacy of faith left behind by the individual who, for example, with Joshua, is willing to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. A person who wishes to walk in uprightness, in purity, in innocence, in righteousness, is someone who makes an impact and who is able, therefore, to have an influence that lasts long into the future. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. What about this notion that we can pass on to the next generation a little piece of something, maybe a plant that initially sprouted in the soil of my heart, and that I can take a piece of that and transfer it into the soil of your heart through my positive example and your willingness to receive it. And that plant, which began its life in me, can take root and grow and mature in you. It's not that Timothy was blindly following the faith of his mom and grandmother, but instead what they had held dear, what they truly believed, they had passed on to him. And Paul says, I'm confident that that very faith is at work in you. Do you have plants in your home or in your yard that originally belonged to someone else and were initially planted somewhere else? And you think, that was so-and-so's plant. At my parents' house in the backyard are some random plants to me. I mean, I look at them. They're lining the little creek line there. But they point to those and they say, those belong to Miss Mary, who was a dear friend of our family. She was the epitome of the green thumb. And she had so much in her backyard that she would often just sort of take some out, bring them to church, you know, like people do, and say, here, if you want some, come take it. And so I guess somewhere along the way, my mom took those and planted them out back. And those things are still growing, even though I helped to preach Miss Mary's funeral 20 years ago. And we look out there and we see the continued signs of life. And it's special to us because we know that that, you know what I mean by this, originated with her. And we give thanks to God who gives us these beautiful things and who reminds us in the gift of memory of that person. Later to Timothy, Paul will say, I want you to guard the deposit that I've given to you. The things that I'm passing down to you that you can pass down to another. And we step back and we think about legacy and we think this is a big thing, you know, and we think that this is some giant thing that is to be handed down. And in a sense it is, but what the wise man is saying here in Proverbs chapter 20 and what Paul is getting at in 1 Timothy, or rather 2 Timothy chapter 1, and what Moses said from the Word of God in Exodus 20 is that this is one of those things, this big thing legacy that is passed down and gently planted in the small, mundane, routine moments of life. That a legacy of faith begins with the decisions that you make in your life, the things that you do, the way that you live. Children imitate what they observe. Which reminds me that while there is a piece of integrity that is taught, the majority of a legacy is something that is going to be caught. I need to see it so that I can internalize it. We don't always remember the book, chapter, and verse, do we? Not always. We want to. But it's hard to forget a positive example, a concrete image of the very message that is being taught in Scripture. Integrity makes an impact. A faithful example leaves an imprint on the soul. My granddaddy died, I've told you this before, when I was like 5 years old. You wouldn't think that a five-year-old would be so heavily impacted by someone who was snatched away from his life. And yet, there's hardly a day goes by that I don't think about him and largely the stories I've heard about him since his passing. I found out recently that at his passing, there was some money. And that money was taken by my grandmother and invested on behalf of the, at the time, three grandchildren. And there it's been ever since. Now, I'm not rich or anything, okay? I'm not saying anything like that. But what I am saying is this. I found out recently about something that was done by my grandmother as a result of some preparations that had been made by my granddaddy when I wasn't even 5 years old. And here's what I want you to think about. What spiritual inheritance are you leaving behind? When we're gone, we don't think about mundane things that don't matter. We think about the impact. We think about the legacy. What kind of spiritual inheritance are you leaving behind? And before you think that you don't have anyone who will be impacted by your legacy, let me humbly encourage you to think again and get real. Every single person in this room impacts others who are dear to you, who care about you, who love you, and who are watching you. And you have an opportunity to leave a legacy. Will the people who come after me be more likely to walk with God because of the life that I live? So what practical steps then can we take to leave a legacy that matches the one that the writer of the Proverbs says here in 20 verse 7? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Let's be faithful in daily discipleship. You know, back in the Old Testament, Moses said as he was giving the law again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Commit them to memory. Make them a part of your life." See, that happens on the daily, doesn't it? That means that I've got to be in the Word on a regular basis. "And you shall teach them." The NIV says, "You shall impress them." The New Revised Standard says, "You shall recite them." The Christian Bible says, "You shall repeat them diligently to your children." What does it mean to have these things impressed on my heart such that I can impress them on another? What does it mean to have these words committed to my memory so well that I can recite them to another? Teach them diligently to your children and talk about them. Commit them to memory so that they become applied knowledge for your life. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. I suppose that could include having a Bible nearby at all times. And thanks to smartphones, we generally have access to God's Word, even when maybe we've left our physical copy at the house. However, I think the general sense, the more accurate sense of this is, it's living so much in my brain that no matter what happens, there is some spiritual application to what's going on here. There's some word from the Lord recorded in Scripture that applies in this moment. When I'm walking, when I'm sitting, when I'm lying down, when I'm rising up. At the very least, there's a continual awareness of God and what God wishes for me to do and to be. I think leaving a legacy looks like repenting when you fall. Walking in integrity, as we've already established, doesn't mean walking in perfection. And of course, therefore, integrity would demand that we have the humility enough to repent when we fall. Children need to see how to handle failure in a godly way. If you've grown up, whether you're a child or not, and maybe you haven't had all the positive examples that others have had, then you want to know, how do I handle this moment right now? Living a life that is penitent when we make mistakes can help others to know what to do when they fall. Use your words to speak life and truth. Proverbs is full of reminders like this. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." So I can be reminded that my words are powerful. And before you fly off the handle, before you say something you'll regret, before you say the right thing in the wrong way or the wrong thing, even if it's in a right way, stop and think about your integrity, about the legacy you're leaving, about what you're known for. And use your words. Point people to the Lord. And finally, prioritize the eternal over the temporal. Make choices based on eternal values, not worldly successes. Think more about there and then in terms of our hope. And lay up those treasures in heaven rather than on earth, where moss and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. See, everybody's leaving a legacy. The question is, what's yours? What kind of legacy are you leaving? And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 reminds us that integrity isn't just personal, it's generational. And so the decisions that we're making today affect the people who are watching around us. Are you walking in integrity with God? Does your life make it easier or harder for the next generation to know Jesus? If you've never begun this walk, then now's an opportunity to consider the legacy that you're leaving. But let me phrase this carefully. Because if you choose to follow Jesus today, or if you choose to recommit your life to the Lord, I don't want you to do it because of other people. I want you to do it because of Him, the Lord, God. But consider as you make that choice, the impact that it will have on those after you. What kind of life do you want now? What kind of legacy are you leaving for later? Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Matthew 6, verse 33. We're seeking that first. Are you? I'm going to sing a song to encourage. If there's anyone among us who needs to respond in a public way, either to begin your walk with the Lord by putting Him on in baptism, or to reignite your life with the Lord through penitence, confession, prayer, asking for strength, for encouragement, now's the time. We're a family here. We support each other and point each other to Jesus. Are you seeking Him first? While we stand and sing.